Well, in retirement, I've made a commitment that whenever either the Children's Defense Fund, with whom I'm active, or Horizon calls, I respond. I'm at their disposal. Those are my avenues for ministry in retirement. And so I would be here regardless of what your theme happened to be if Patty and Jeff called and said, go there. But I'm particularly glad to be here because of the context and your theme in that over the years, my life credo has emerged as to do justice, to love kindness, and to seek to walk humbly with sacred mystery and all of humankind by employing to the degree possible what Jesus said to the 12 and Dr. King, translated as a tough mind and a tender heart, with an understanding of hope, not unlike Jeremiah's. That is to say, buying the field when it made no sense to exhibit hope in the midst of seeming hopelessness. So, given your theme, my life's credo, commitment to Horizon, I couldn't be any place else this morning but right here. Back in the very early 80s, I was appointed pastor of a struggling downtown church in a county seat town here in Ohio called Marion. Literally, the bumper stickers on cars in Marion at that time was, would the last person out of Marion, Ohio, turn off the lights? 20% unemployment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we had our hands full. But nearby was located the Marion Correctional Institution. And as we began to get our feet wet, among the places of ministry was that prison. And I would go there often. And I can report to you what I've said in many venues, that without fail, whenever I went in the 80s, I would come away either so depressed that I was dysfunctional for at least a day, or so angry that I wanted to drive the car into a wall. It was an absolute hellhole, enough said, an absolute hellhole. Partly because unemployment was what it was in Marion, and also in part because the prison was nearby, and further, because of the needs in the community, one of the things we did was start a nonprofit group that sought to rehabilitate homes for low and moderate income people. We convinced, after some serious negotiations, that prison to allow some of the men, a large crew really of about 20, to come into the community on a daily basis to do some of the scut labor on those homes. It was a marvelous, marvelous experience that went on for almost 15 years, concluding with the renovation of what had been a standalone, forgotten, dilapidated downtown hotel, refurbished for low and moderate income housing for seniors. But anyhow, the first house that was rehabbed, literally, the night before it went on the market for sale, was razed with gunfire. And we were convinced, although it was never proven, that that gunfire had been initiated by some of the employees of the prison because they simply did not want to see this kind of out-of-the-box activity. Hold that for a moment. Being a United Methodist, I was, after about a decade, appointed elsewhere, namely here in Columbus. And upon arrival, Jeff Hunsaker, whom you'll meet more thoroughly in a moment, was one of the active laypersons there. Jeff became a part of our staff, primarily caring for the building with a myriad of programs, a very active building. But in the midst of that, because of his prior work with the Walk to Emmaus and Kairos that was just beginning as a Christian ministry in some of the prisons here in Ohio and elsewhere, Jeff was experiencing experiencing a call to ministry in the context of prison work, restorative justice, and so forth. And so this kind of high steeple congregation took a bit of a risk designated about 30% of Jeff's time and salary to go and chase his vision and to seek to respond to the call. The rest is the story that he and the others here ought to tell more completely than I. But I watched what began to happen at Marion, because in God's great wisdom, she sent a woman into Marion as the first female warden there. She happened to be a woman trained largely in terms of the church by United Methodist Women. She had a sense of empowerment, and she turned that place upside down, as some here can tell you better than I. It's said that the first call she made when she sat in her chair was to Jeff to say, bring Kairos in, but we need more than Kairos, because Kairos is short term. It's the mountaintop, almost like the revival. But what about Monday morning? And oh, by the way, we don't have just Christians here. We have a myriad of faith traditions represented in this increasingly pluralistic context. So the yin and yang of Chris and Jeff and others began the evolution that has produced the Horizon Interfaith Prison Ministry. We're in our 13th year at the Marion Correctional Institution. Our graduates have exhibited an 11% recidivism rate, as over against the rates that you know about across the country. We're in our third year at Chillicothe, earlier mentioned, the largest prison in Ohio, and we're concluding our first year at London. So we are in three prisons. This is a movement, a ministry that is lay-driven. At the heart of the ministry are thousands of volunteer hours, both in instruction, but perhaps even more importantly, in what is called the outside, at this point, just brothers program. In a moment, I'll talk about outside sisters, coming attraction. But outside brothers, every Tuesday for 11 months, come hell or high water, these men go to, in this case, Marion, but also now to Chillicothe and London, to befriend the inside brother. There's no agenda except simply to be in relationship with one another for 11 months every Tuesday night for that period of time. And it's transformative, because many of the men tell us that never in their lives have they had a non-manipulative, non-abusive relationship with another human being, let alone with another man who wasn't trying to get something from them. Right now, we're sitting on the cusp of an invitation to go to, an invitation to go to both of the women's prisons here in Ohio. Marysville is the long-standing women's prison. Dayton is the more recent addition. We only have the resources at this point to do one, so we're in negotiation about going to one of those prisons in the next year or two. Also, we've begun to dance with the idea of what we're calling the Horizon Academy, where men who are graduates of Horizon, particularly lifers and long-termers, would receive additional training over a year's period, so that they then could become trained facilitators endorsed by the system, by the Ohio Department, and sent to what are now called reintegration units in the prisons in Ohio to work with the men there as they prepare to go out into the community. At the same time that that we're talking, doing that, and the women's prison, we will be talking next week about the introduction of computer-based instruction. Well, now, there are computer labs in most, not most, in several of the prisons, but we're talking about a computer system in each of our family units. And I'll say just a word about that in a moment, whereby the men in a closed-circuit context can do their GED work. The state director of prison said to us 2 days ago, perhaps we can get drug counseling training there so that the men can become qualified at the first level, at least, before they are released to be drug counselors in the community. He said, who better than they to work with the men? 80% of our inmates have drug and alcohol problems when they come. 90% are functionally illiterate, and almost all of the men have experienced some form of sexual abuse. So we feel like we're biting into something that's important. Jeff asked me the other day what I saw as the future of the church. We all know the main lines are waning, not waxing as much as waning. What's the future of the church? And I said, I don't pretend to know, but what I do hunch is that the kind of thing that we're seeing with a horizon, and I could name other examples, but the kind of thing where communities form, they become support communities, they become worshiping communities, they become transformative communities, they become empowering communities. I think it is these kind of entities emerging in various settings that is the future of the church. I don't know exactly what the future is going to look like, but I think those entities are going to be there. And in our case, and we are adamant about this, it must be interfaith. That is not to say, what it is to say is we don't try transform anyone from one faith to another or to recruit them to this, that, or the other. But rather, each man is helped to go more deeply into his faith tradition and at the same time to learn more about and to grow in respect for the other traditions present. We do this in what are called family units. Each family unit is led by a graduate of the program. And these six men, including the graduate, live in a family unit for 11 months, no bars, no walls of separation. They are family. With a curriculum, in addition to their daily work, with a curriculum, but most of all, with a family table, where those who oftentimes have never sat at family table learn to do family business. One last story, and then I'll pass the ball to Jeff Hunsaker, who is really the guru of Horizon. If it were not for Jeff faithfully responding to his call, there would be no such ministry. The story I would tell is, as a result of when I was in Chicago, a couple of trips back to Ohio, and Jeff always inviting me to come out, and seeing at Marion this unbelievable transformation. Well, it shouldn't be unbelievable for those who believe in resurrection, but from the desert to the oasis, from darkness to light, and to see things just hopping when I went there, I thought, if I ever get the chance as a bishop in the United Methodist Church, I'm going to bring the sisters and brothers in the Council of Bishops to this place. And finally, I had that opportunity. And a few years ago, brought as many of the bishops from the global church as would come to Marion. It was the visit that many of them still talk about. Included in that visit was the testimony of the former, listen to this now, the former leader of the Aryan Brotherhood. Got me? The Aryan Brotherhood, the shaved head, the tattoos, the muscles, all that stuff, and a formerly enraged, still a black Muslim, enraged black Muslim, standing before God and this company and saying, we used to hate each other, now we are best friends. Nobody gets to him unless he comes through me, and vice versa. I sat there, I hadn't heard that particular testimony. I sat there thinking, because we say Horizon is a program to transform the individual, the institution, and the sending institutions, namely the religious ones, this is the kind of story that needs to be told. Because if men in prison can learn to love and respect across, in this case, the Christian Islamic line, why, pray God, can we not learn to do this in the world? And with that, I'll flip this to Jeff.
Thank you, Joe. Carl, why don't you shut that door so we don't have the distraction. Is it coming from there?
Some of it's coming through that wall.
All right.
It may help.
Maybe.
Or we can just stop over next door and tell them to turn it down.
Claire's got a little touch.
That's all right, girl. We'll figure it out. Thank you. Well, as Joe said, it's a privilege for me to be here this morning. But first, I want to introduce two remarkable young men who I actually consider my sons, because Steve Watkins and Carl Klett are both graduates of the Horizon program who have been released and are doing remarkably well in the world because of what Horizon has been able to do for them. And it's a privilege to have them here, and they're going to share their stories with us in a little bit as well, so you get a sense of what you're doing. But to tell a story, as Joe likes to tell a story, a lot of times at the graduation, on the Horizon every year, I talk about I have three daughters. And when my youngest was born, I'd prayed to have a son. And you have to be careful of what you pray for, because now I'd gotten 48 new sons every year as I worked in the prison system and had 48 men who would come to live in the Horizon unit for a year. And it was a remarkable experience of that. But, you know, to give you some of the background of Horizon. Horizon is an outgrowth of the Kairos Prison Ministry. How many of you are familiar with Kairos? Somewhat. It is an ecumenical Christian ministry that goes into the prison system and does a three-day weekend similar to Crucio and Emmaus, and it's focused directly for those who are incarcerated. And it's a spiritual awakening for those in prison, and many lives have been transformed by that experience and understanding who they are as a child of God. And we did that at Marion. As Joe said, Warden Money called me and said, how soon can we start Kairos, when she arrived at that prison? And we did. And it became the foundational piece of the resurrection of that institution, because we realized you have to understand that you are a child of God first and foremost before you can really progress and make a successful life. And we did that. And it was doing remarkably well. But we realized that we had to go deeper than that. We had to really help them focus on different things. So we thought we'd put together a faith-based program that would be in a dormitory where they're kind of like in their own little monastery, and would live there for a year's time. And we started out thinking that if we taught them more about their faith and let them learn about other people's faith, that we would, you know, begin this process of really resurrecting. And what we soon learned is that most, not only in prison but in the world, hide behind their religion. Because I could have guys who could come into the program and they could sing praises to God and quote scriptures to you all day long and turn around and go cuss out his neighbor and steal from him. So what wasn't lining up? So we had to look at, if we don't really focus on getting to the core issues in these men's lives, we're just playing church with them. And that started us on a remarkable journey of what has evolved as the Horizon program, now 13 years at Marion Correctional. And many years ago, I saw a quote from Henry David Thoreau, and it was in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People where I ran across it. And Thoreau said, for every 1,000 hacking at the leaves of evil, there is one striking at the root. And that burned into my head. If we don't strike at the root, we're not going to be effective, because there are all multiple programs that come into the prison system wanting to help and do good things, and, you know, the recidivism rates are still high. I mean, we have a lot of people who will come and do services in church and, you know, get a notch on their Bible and think that they've saved a prisoner and go on and go to the next one. And, you know, unless you can really commit to being there and being present in that community, you're not going to be very effective. So we started down that road for Horizon. So we started with 48 men in a dormitory that was given to us, and we separated them into 8 families of 6. And we started out as an interfaith ministry, and we had 6 Christian families, 1 Jewish family, and 1 Islamic family when we first started. And we thought, you know, we'd grow in our faith. But as it evolved, we learned that we had more conflict in the faith communities than we did inner communities. So we went to the model of intermixing everybody and what we did. And it worked out very well, because we began to look at things in a whole different way. But we began down that road of looking at many different programs on how we can evolve this to really get at the core issue. And what we came up with is our belief statements. If this is who we are, what do we really believe? And the first statement is, dignity, honor, and respect are due to each and every individual, not because of their accomplishments or who they are or how they behave, but because they're home to a soul that's inherently holy. And if we don't look at them as a child of God, as a spiritual being first, you know, we're missing the point. And the second belief statement came directly from John Wesley, and many of you are familiar with his 3 simple rules. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And that is really what we do in Horizon. Those are the 3 focuses we have. And the third one is that trauma not transformed is trauma transferred. And what we've discovered is that most every individual who has entered into the prison system was first a victim before they ever became a perpetrator. And there is a cycle of being a victim to a perpetrator, and unless you can get to that core issue that happened in your life, the trauma that was put on you most likely at a very early age, and be able to forgive that, you're not going to make a lot of progress. So trauma is a lot of what we deal with in how we work. So we build a program that's over a year's time, and the men come, and they are in constant programming. We have it's really built on the foundational pieces of spiritual formation, character reformation, emotional awareness, family, and education. And all the things we plug into that are part of our curriculum. And we have a wide range of curriculum that we offer to the men. And they have the opportunity. There is a core curriculum which they must participate in. And the range is from building community, which is a conflict resolution program that we do once a week, where we learn about conflict and how to deal with that. But we also do a lot of interfaith dialogue in that. We bring in different faiths and talk about the differences that we have in that. We have a faith-specific program for each man that's in the program, whether they're Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, Wiccan, Native American. We offer opportunities for them to learn and grow in their own faith. And then we have a character reformation program. And unless you look at the values of what brought you to prison and reform your character, you know, you've got to make progress in how you think. Because that's the biggest thing we learned. It's not the religion that got them in prison. It's the way they think. And if we don't address that part of it and how they think, again, we're just playing church with them. So there are very focused parts of that. One of the primary things we do is family connection, too, and it's a very, very simple process. We provide each man in the program 2 stamps a week in an envelope, and he must write his family. And that ranges up to mom, dad, children, mom, mother, my baby, all that. But they have to write a letter and to connect with their family. And the stories that have taken place just from sending that letter over a period of time and the transformation in people's lives has been remarkable. I had one man who has been doing a life sentence and came into prison system as Hispanic, was from Mexico, murdered somebody, never spoke a word of English. Carl's shaking his head because he knows him. And his life was so transformed. He learned English, the whole thing. He actually converted his father in Mexico with those letters to Christianity. And it was just a remarkable story. But there are multiple stories like that. But they begin to realize who they are as a child of God. And then they work on the hard stuff of their lives. And the whole thing evolves to where in a year's time, the process has begun. And they walk out of the program, and people ask, well, don't you stay in touch? You do everything. Part of our strategy is we want to put them right back out into the environment of the prison system because that's where they learn the most. That's where what they've learned comes to life. And they realize they don't deal with things the same way. They don't think the same way. And what happens in that process, and Marion's the prime example of this, it transforms the whole prison. As Joe said, that prison is transformed from the worst prison in the state of Ohio to a world-renowned prison now. People come from all over the world to see what we're doing in that prison. But it's not us, it's the men. We have a little motto. It says, shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. We train the men up, and they transform the institution. And that's what happens with what we do. And it's a remarkable process how that works. But the other thing, if you really want to know what Horizon is, it's character reformation through spiritual growth. That's a quick, short version if you want to know what it is. It's character reformation through spiritual growth. And it's a process. And I can talk a long while about the process, but that's not what's important. It's for what you all need to understand and think about when you're thinking about prison ministry. Because, again, we are striking at the root. We want to get men coming into the program who have longer goals. Because a lot of the programming it's done in the prison system is hacking at the lees of evil. They will go through a course to get a certificate to show the judge to let me out or show the parole board, and it's really not taking a deep effect on what they're doing. And we look at it totally different. We go clear back. We want guys before they're ever thinking about going out the door to really focus on changing their lives and then change the environment they're in. And it's happening. And it's pretty remarkable how it's happening. But Horizon really has a three-pronged approach in what we do. First and foremost, we're there to restore the inmate. But our second purpose is we're also to change and restore the institution. And the third one is we're there to renew the church. And that happens by the volunteers who are involved in our program. The men, particularly for our outside brother program, we try to match men up from the faith community with someone in the program, as Joe said, for that year's time. With no agenda, they just come and are friends, and these two can attest to their experience with that. But that is the thing that brings hope to these men. It's unconditional love. Nobody's getting anything for it. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. But they know it's real. And they're free because these are outside people. They can say anything to them, talk about anything. And over a year's time, they're the ones who really make everything we do work because they're giving them hope that I can change. Prisons have become our human junkyards. This is where we throw people away. And God says, no, it's not going to be that way. I'm going to take the stone that's rejected and turn it into my place. And that's what you see happening. And that's what we do. And we're kind of in the center of how that all unfolds. And we really have a privilege and an honor to be able to do the program we do. And it's expanding. It originally started in Florida. There are several prisons that have Horizon units in Florida. Of course, us here in Ohio, and there's one in Oklahoma and one in Texas as well.
And we're in three prisons now.
We're in three.
Looking at our four.
Right. And it's expanding. It's going to expand quickly. But in order for this to be successful, we must have the church. And we must have the men of the church. Because in my experience in the church, is we're not seeing that many of us in there anymore. You know, they don't have a purpose. But the guys who come from outside brothers, they go back to their churches, and they're on fire. They tell the stories of the transformation that's happened in there. And believe me, every one of them probably said, prison? I ain't going there. But when you're called to do that, that's what makes the difference. And all we need to do is get them there once. And they see what God is doing, and the call is on their hearts, and they come and make a difference. And it's so simple, because all they have to do is love them unconditionally, just like Jesus does. And that's what we're about. That's what makes it work. So with that said, I want to offer the... have Carl and Steve share a little bit of their stories with you so you get a sense of, you know, where they came from, what they experienced, and where they are now. So, Steve, you want to start us?
Let me preface it by saying when Carl speaks, you should know that he is also the author of one of the major pieces of our curriculum. As an inmate, he wrote a major piece of our curriculum.
And Steve started a whole terrific program also.
Yes. Yes. My name's Steve Watkins. April 27, 2000 changed my life. That's when I turned myself in at the county jail for... because I believe now that's what God wanted me to do, to save myself and save everybody else. And if you'd have told me then that I'd be sitting here today talking about my prison experience, I'd have laughed at you. I'll be honest, I was charged with rape, two counts of rape. Ended up doing 10 years. And God closed two prisons for me to be at Marion Correctional. I started out, I was at Ross Correctional, got transferred to Orient. I was Orient at right after April of, or not April, but of 9/11, 2001, and they closed it down, got moved to Lima a year later. They closed Lima, and I ended up at Marion. I didn't know what Marion was about until I got there. And then I went through Kairos and met Jeff. And, you know, I say I can't believe I'm sitting here now because when Jeff and I first met, I probably didn't say five words to him in half an hour. And then I got through the Kairos program, was accepted and went through Horizon 5, was an encourager in Horizon 6 and 7, and met Carl there. Carl was my encourager. And then I became active, not just in Horizon, but in the other programs that we had there at Marion, which was at Lifeline, which is where they have a computer lab. And you know, I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy. And when I hit my 5 years and knew I was getting out in five more, I decided that, you know, I saw so many guys leave and come back and not know what they were doing and all this stuff. And, you know, when I was incarcerated, before I was incarcerated, I was a successful pig farmer. I've raised pigs all my life.
Pig farmer.
Raised pigs all my life in Indiana. And so that's all I knew. I mean, that's all I knew. So I started to get material in and prepare myself to get back in that field. And and as Patty mentioned, through the Lifeline program down there, I started a program called Opportunities in Pork Production, because the word hope was used here. And this gives guys that's going back in the rural community some hope of maybe finding employment on one of these farms. And that's what I wanted to do, was to give them some tools, some skills. So I say that not to push up my program, but to say that through the programs we did in Horizon, it helped build my confidence and it helped me find my self-worth and helped me find that I do have a purpose, and that a little old pig farmer from Indiana can make a difference. And because of support from Jeff and because of the Outside Brothers program and because of the letter writing that they have, I'll tell this story real quickly. When I got incarcerated, I talked to my daughter a couple times. She was 14, and she wasn't a victim of my crime or anything, but she was going through those teenage years, and being the father that I was at that time, I had the Bob Knight mentality, and, you know, and so, you know, we started having some distance between us. And so I kept writing those letters to her when I was in there, and she never wrote back, And so I figured, well, you know, I got to trust God in this, you know. And so I got out April of 2010, April 25th, in fact. I'll be celebrating 3 years and 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. And so on Memorial Day race weekend, Indy 500, after the Indy 500 in April or May of 2010, she gave me a call after the race. That's a big issue in our family. We don't go there. That's kind of big. And so she talked to me for about an hour and a half. And I just let her, you know, just let her say whatever she had to say. And then in May of 2011, again, around race weekend, when I went to see her for the first time, she I met her at her house, and she took me upstairs, and she had saved every letter I'd wrote her. So I would like to answer your question. As a registered sex offender, I did find a church that, again, through the Outside Brothers program and the connections I made through my pork program, I found some people that, when I got out, they accepted me. They asked me to come, and they accepted me. I am currently on the Board of Trustees. I am currently being trained to run sound. They had a play on a vacation Bible school a couple of years ago, and they were doing a Western theme. And I remember they were doing a thing that had a jail there, and I was helping build it. And they stepped back and they said, "Well, that's perfect." I said, "No, it's not quite perfect. Not quite." So they've accepted me, you know. But again, there was people there that met me before, and so that mentoring, making that connection before they get out, is very crucial. So I think the gentleman you're talking about is doing the right thing, reaching out, trying to find churches that will accept them. And there's going to be churches that are probably going to deny him. So... what I currently am, I did get out. One of my goals was, when I walk out that door, I'm going to get out on Sunday. And I wanted to go to a job on Monday. And sure enough, through the connections again that I was able to make, which started through an outside brother, I was able to make those connections. I had a job Monday morning. Now, that job only lasted 6 months for a variety of reasons, which some I still have not yet figured out. But I currently am now at Goodwill in Marion. I started out as a volunteer because I just needed something to do to try to find a job. Then I got hired on part-time, and then they put me in full-time. Then they put me as a shift supervisor, and this September, I was promoted to distribution center coordinator, and so I help sort through material, and we send it back out to the stores that we serve in out of Marion, which is we serve some Delaware County and Marion County, Versailles, Crawford County, Union County, and Morrow County. So that's what I'm doing now, and you know, and I've been able. They've got a reentry program, and that's helped me. That's how I made connections there. But that mentoring thing is just so important. Just so important. So, Jeff, that's about all I got.
Thank you,
now.
Steve. Thank you. Let's turn it to Carl.
As Jeff mentioned, my name's Carl. And if I could sort of summarize my Horizon experience, and then I'll give you a brief synopsis of, as he did, about his life. I believe that Horizon, more than any other experience or program in the prison system in the state of Ohio, promotes civil discourse and is a community of respect. And everything that Jeff, the Bishop, Reverend Patty, has shared, as well as we have shared, and I'm about to share, fits under that umbrella. I served 21 years in prison. I grew up in a middle-class family, the oldest of six children. As a teenager, I raped a woman, a friend of my father, and was sentenced to the worst prison in the state of Ohio, could have served 50 years in prison. I was under the old law. The old law is there's no program that you can complete, no therapy you could go through that could get you out of prison earlier, unlike some states, and like the state of Ohio is set up now. 50 years. I was in Ohio State Reformatory, where Shawshank Redemption was filmed. In the winter, in the mid-80s, 1986, to be exact, there's a pile of books in the corner on the sixth range. I found it, rumbled through it. There was a lot of fiction stuff. Found a nonfiction piece of material that I attest that God, in his miraculous, phenomenal ways, wanted me to read it. It was called Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl, as I'm sure all of you know what that is, that literary work. That literary work became the foundation of who I am right now. And later, a literary work by M. Scott Peck, Road Less Traveled, is defining who Carl is at this journey in life at 45. Within the first year of incarceration, I was raped at Shank Point, knife, and I almost committed suicide as a result of that. I reported the crime. Notice I said crime while incarcerated because most men in prison do not see that as a crime. That's the inmate code. So, subsequently, I'm sitting in an isolated cell under investigation with unrelenting guilt and shame for why I'm in prison, because I raped a woman. And now I'm a victim of that. A double victim in the sense that because I was a predator, perpetrator of raping a woman, changing her course of life and her children's life and my family and the community. It wasn't just in this microcosm familial experience. It affected the whole community. I remember vividly taking a bed sheet in Lebanon Correctional Institution after I was transferred from Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio, and trying to put it up in a vent to hang myself. Obviously, I didn't. Subsequently, I fell to my knees and was praying fervently, give me direction, crying out. In the next 20 years. I was the first inmate to earn a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate in the state of Ohio while incarcerated. My doctorate, with the support of Jeff and Christine Money, and many people that were retired professors from OSU and other places that were in the faith community, helped me with the hardest task, which was my dissertation, as you quite can imagine. But I challenged the system and the prison ministry to create a new Christian psychology challenging metaphysical dualism. Because, as Jeff summarized in a lay term, so many of us as human beings, I say us because it's not the incarcerated only, hide behind a veil, a mask, and don't take that intrinsic, what I believe, worth of what Jesus meant to love unconditionally. In the next 20 years, aside from the academic, and you are correct, recidivism lowers with the more education you get. But it's not college degrees. It's not college degrees. It's the education and what I believe the relationship stuff that Jeff summarized so wonderfully in the programs that Horizon provides. In those next years, I challenged the system. I was nearly murdered for standing up to gang members because a juvenile had been raped, and I encouraged him to report it. He did so. Then I was witness to, in that same time frame, witness to an assault, and I went in the middle of gang members, all black men, about 20 of them, as a white man. That is very damaging to who you are in the prison system. I picked the guy up and carried him back to his bed in a dorm. There was a hit put on me, and I was assaulted and laid in a coma for 2.5 days, woke up, did not remember any part of the experience. Psychologists, investigators all told me what had happened. I still have it somewhere, but I had this big card while I was recovering that about 250 men signed from general population. A psychologist brought it to my cell. What a wonderful experience of saying these guys knew what I was doing, standing up against the inmate code, the gang members. I was transferred to a protective custody unit, where shortly after that I met Jeff Hunsinger and the wardens. I ended up spending time, 4.5, 5 years, I think, in the Horizon program as a participant, an encourager, as a resource for Jeff to use as a sounding board to enhance the Horizon experience. And shortly after, that's where I wrote my dissertation. Shortly after that, I went to Warden Christine Money and Jeff Hunsaker, and I said, "This is a joke." So many words. So many people are hiding behind their masks. They give you this image that they're a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist, but they come back to the dorm and they're doing all the things that they're not supposed to do, that are illegal in the prison system and usually illegal out here. Let me write a curriculum. Wow. Boom. Provided resources, and in a short time I wrote a program called The Awakening. It was an eclectic approach of psychosocial dynamics within the interreligious platform to dismantle religious separatism in so many ways and get at the core, at the root, at what Jeff says is the goal of Horizon. That means facing your demons honestly. To be able to talk and be authentic about your feelings, your thoughts, your experiences. I got a lot of ridicule, didn't I? Jeff? Remember, I came back to the dorm one time and I was crying. Because my peers, who in the hell, forgive me, think you are, that you're doing this. But the warden, Jeff, and a few other people supported me. But deep within inside my heart, I knew I was doing what was right. It was part of my rehabilitation journey to make a difference. No more victims. See, while in prison, I was no longer a victim. I was a survivor. Viktor Frankl was a survivor. While people around him, although he was incarcerated for much different reasons and much horrific, more horrific experiences, he was a survivor. Why can't I be a survivor? Why can't my peers, my brothers? I looked at wardens, looked at Jeff, Bishop, Reverend, as my equals. But they treated me as an equal. I was not a number, as a system attaches to you and often treats you. I have been in society for 6 years. Failure, I don't even think about that. Failure is an option. Although we all have ebbs and flows of life and there's experiences that are hard, they're learning experiences for me. Every experience is a learning experience. One of the things that's driven me is reconciliation with my family. And I can say proudly that I have that. That I have a father who is very abusive that loves me, but I can stand up to him now. I don't fear him. In fact, there's no man that I fear. No man. But for many years, I feared my father. My father and mother are in their 70s. And my sisters and brothers were all reconciled. And my sisters and brothers and mom and dad are so happy that I've been able to make it. But they stuck with me during this time. And in their hard times, which is a result of the experiences Horizon provided for me, to be able to interact, to be able to spend time now is so wonderful. But it's not just within the family. This experience right now is profound for me. I am a purchasing director for a multi-million dollar company. I've had this job since I was released. An ex-sex offender with a multi-million dollar company as a purchasing director. There's nothing impossible for any offender, despite the social stigma. I own a house. I own a car. I'm married. In a few weeks, my wife is going to be a father. Little baby girl. And I never thought that was going to happen. I thought these other things were going to happen, but I discounted ever being a father. You tell me we don't have a wonderful God. You tell me that Horizon, from both of our experiences, can't go to every state in the Union. To Maine? Is that where you're from, ma'am?
New Jersey?
Wherever? You can't tell me it doesn't make a difference. This is not vulnerability for me. How easy we can use the excuse vulnerability. It's not. This is Carl. This is who I am. This is who I was created to be. As Steve and all of us. Thank you.
Well, I think you witnessed what it's about. But you know why we call it a horizon? Any idea? Very simple. From darkness to light. And that's really what it's all about. as we've begun to expand our projects, you know, I've had to really focus on who we are and what we're about and what it is really that exists. And I've been posed with the question, what problem is Horizon the solution to? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to address? And I've shared that with my staff and all the people and the volunteers involved. But I think we've discovered what the problem that Horizon is the solution to is broken relationships with God, with self, with others, and with creation. And guess what? That's the problem that the church is the solution to. Where are we? What are we doing? How are we making a difference? You know, when you all go back to your places, you know, what's God calling you to do? You know, I mentioned I have three daughters. And this generation now is so different because they grew up in the church. But the church is not important to them anymore. You know, they want to be involved in something that's making a difference and being part of something. And that's what we're called to do. The church is at a place now that we have to resurrect as well. Because there's so much need in the world that it's only the church that can address it. And we're just one piece of that. And we're honored to follow a call. I mean, here I am. Joe will attest to this. I was just a young man sitting in a pew at North Broadway United Methodist Church and went through a horrible automobile accident, and I said, Lord, whatever you want with my life, it's yours. Here I am. And I've seen miracles. I've been privileged to go all over the world to train volunteers for ministry. I've been in South Africa. I've been did a Kairos weekend in South Africa. I've been to Belfast, Northern Ireland, did the first Kairos weekend where they put Protestants and Catholics together. It was remarkable. But God is just asking for instruments. You know, here I am. I still can't figure that out. I don't even have a college education. I flunked out of college. But God says, no, I'll take you. And that's what he's doing with all of that. And men particularly need this. They want to serve God. They want to go. And they want to make a difference in the world. And the church has to offer that. So I want to open it up for a little bit. We've got a few minutes, I think, and we can ask questions. Sure.
Yeah. How do you define the root? You talk about getting to the root cause. How do you define it? How do you know when you've found it, gotten there?
I often say, you know, I struggled for many years and seeing what happens to guys. Some of them, you know, go this far. Some of them go this far. Some of them make it. Some of them don't make it. We've got guys who will drop out of the program every year because they're just not there yet. And, you know, I would take that personally. And God says, no, you're a seed planter. You're not responsible for the soil. Let me do that work. And all we do is provide the seeds for them to change. We can't change anyone. All we can do is love them. And it's only out of the unseen power of God's love that anyone changes. And that's the essence of it. All the pieces that we do are important, of course. But to know you're loved, just like Carl said, makes all the difference. You can change. And that's so simple. And when we get there, they realize it. But I'm not responsible for results. I'm
so
just
the
seed. That's right.
Yeah.
And the biggest change comes in the men after they leave the program. And I don't get to see that.
Oh.
But I know their lives are changed. There's not a week that goes by I don't get a call from somebody who's been released and say, Jeff, thanks.
Oh.
I miss you. You changed my life.
Yeah, and I think we would say that the core issue is, despite the fact that we cannot get away from God's love, God loves us whether we know it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The issue is that the many, particularly in this culture, where one in three black boys who cannot read at grade level by grade three are already in the pipeline to prison. One in six Hispanic, one in 13 whites. When the debris is piled on, it's awfully hard to find, to discover, to test, to believe that you are loved. And the root issue is to try to get the debris away so that the plant can flourish. And it's not about, it's partly about words, but it's more about experience.
To second or third that, perhaps defining the root would be taking ownership to what brought you to prison in the first place. It is often within the Christian community, and for that matter, all faith. Christ has redeemed me at the cross. I don't need to worry about all those emotional and cognitive dynamics that led me to prison anymore because Christ has forgiven me. Jeff provides this curriculum that allows you to look in the mirror and see that ugly self that committed that crime, take ownership of it. Is that any different than us out here taking ownership of the dynamics of the tension that we have in relationships? The Spirit moves us to say, hey, I need to take ownership for the way I treated this person and move on and create a different cognitive structure, as Jeff mentioned. That's getting at the root, and that's what Horizon provides.
You have a handout there that will give you an overview of the Horizon program, and then on the back was our interfaith policy, so that is for you to take.
So is it only men that go into the prison?
Yes.
We
do have females involved, but not in the mentoring process, which is the main one. And as we go into...
Women help out, though.
They're very much part of it.
Yeah, women are part of it. And it's part of also normalizing that relationship with women. You know, trying to get that sense of trust in, you know, community is also part of it. But it's outside brothers, it's brothers.
Right.
There's programs.
But you do interact with
it. Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely. And it's important dynamic. We just can't have one-on-one kind of things. Patty has come. She's taught faith-specific. She's facilitated in our character reformation program in groups. And our building community program that we do, there's an entire group of volunteers that come in, probably a dozen, and part of them are women as well. So they're involved. We just have to watch the dynamics.
Yeah.
Yes?
And Carl was saying it's not sheets of paper that keep people out of prison. You know, as far as degrees. And when I was teaching world religions, one of the things I did when we got to Hinduism, I would teach them Hindu meditation. When we got to Buddhism, I taught Buddhist meditation. When we got to Native American religions, I taught Native American meditation because my feeling, my gut level feeling was if they could get calm within themselves and be comfortable with themselves, you know, if they can remain calm instead of just reacting, that might keep them out of prison more than all the head knowledge.
Yes.
But one of the questions I have is, how do I apply this to people who have never been incarcerated to keep them from being incarcerated?
People often ask me at my workplace and other, why do I do what I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, society is... our prison is a microcosm of my experiences out here.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, men and women in prison are no different than us out here. No different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for some people to grasp that, and that's okay, because that's an intellectual thing, but it's also an emotional thing if you've been on both sides. I do what I do because it's my calling, and I want to make a difference in people's lives to believe that we can evolve. And our potential is always there to grow. And you see evidence of it. It's a remarkable experience to see my surrogate father, Jeff, evolve. And here, I like to think I'm pretty intellectual and I know all these things. And I'm amazed at how he, from beginning to now, represents Horizon. And I'm going, wow, powerful. It's a transformation of what he's trying to do for us is happening with him in his life. It's back and forth. See, we're receiving energy from you guys right now as you're receiving energy from us. Isn't that what it's about? We're a web, a family.
One of the statistics I had, one in three black
six Hispanic, one in 13 whites who do not read at grade level by grade three are already in the pipeline prison. That's from the Children's Defense Fund, whose data, and they have
just one in 13
whites.
I work in early childhood education, too, and it's part of my parish. We have kindergarten readiness, and then we work with a K to 12 program for education. So I think this part about what you're saying is, how do you work and create opportunities for people to not fall behind so fast, and to do intervention early, and to create support for families, and support for families with those who are already inside, so that the family unit doesn't necessarily will trend that way. I mean, I think there's, you know, it's everything. It's everything that we do is part of it. Loving unconditionally is the big deal. And not being afraid to go into communities that, and live in communities where there's a lot of suffering. But it happens in every income range and, you know, rural and urban. And it's part of our life. And we lock people up so far away from us. And then we throw away the key and don't think that they're going to come out. Or don't think that this is a community of people that may never leave there, but they're God's people. So I guess, you know, all that we do. And I think connecting to a community, I don't know where, you know, we're all scattered, but, you know, Jeff, his email's on there. So, you know, Chillicothe guy, you know, Bill, you got to connect to this. You know, there's possibilities to connect.
He's not at Chillicothe,
though. He's at Ross. But there's still possibilities for, you know, being in touch and encouraged wherever you are. And I think you'll go into prisons, and you've found this, the prison system itself, the religious life inside prison is not particularly interfaith. It's not open. It's not just Carl's description of evolution of religious understanding is not what's taught inside and not what's encouraged. Right. So, you know, you have to keep breaking ground, right? But there are people that can be supportive of that, you know, wherever you are, inside and outside.
When I was a teenager, my youth group, one of the boys that was associated with us was arrested for rape, and we kept in touch with him for a while and eventually, you know, moved on, but I hope that he's done as well as you all have, so thank you so much for sharing your story. You mentioned along the way, because my parishioner was in jail for substance abuse, and never, I mean, still, he's out, he still hasn't acknowledged he has any kind of problem with substance abuse, and therefore, you know, still an active alcoholic. But how do you address, you said that like 80% of the people have substance abuse issues. How do you address that within Horizon?
We don't directly do that in Horizon. Probably the closest thing is we do have some AA and NA groupings within the dorm. But we have every prison has a recovery services department which provides all of that. And so, you know, alcohol and drug abuse is usually a symptom. It's one of those leads we hack at. But, you know, part of getting back down to the root, why do you use that, is that I'm a piece of crap. You know, I don't care, you know. And that's what we're about. But we collaborate with a lot of different organizations within the prison system and without to get to the holistic approach. But, you know, we try to stay focused on what we're about, and that's those core issues of trauma and trauma recovery and how you cognitive renewal and emotional awareness.
And for some of us, back to the children and those numbers for a moment, we become so convinced about how important intervention is with children that here in Ohio, in Columbus in particular, we're in a very strong partnership with the Children's Defense Fund with Freedom Schools, which are patterned after the original Freedom Summer. But now, instead of the main emphasis being on political change, although there is a component of that, it's on learning to love to read. And we will have in Columbus, I think it's 10 or 12 Freedom Schools this summer, where kids go for 6 weeks. They're mentored by indigenous youth from the community, college age, who've been sent to Haley Farm to be trained to work with the youngsters. These college age folk get a $2,700 stipend to help them go back to college. Every kid gets a book every week. they see themselves in the book because the books are redone every year by a nationally renowned panel that Marion Wright Edelman puts together. It's the only point I'm making is we understand that it's a continuum and that it's very important to do the work we're doing in Horizon, but we also need to intervene and to do all we can to keep some of those bodies from being thrown in the river of wool in the first place. And clearly, intervention with children is a key piece of that. I can tell you about a shalom zone we started in a very tough neighborhood here in Columbus a couple of years ago, where after they had their teen club started on a tiny building, and just pushing the walls out with the youth who are there now, 14-year-old single mother broke into the church before time for the group to start because she said, when somebody in the church asked her why she had done that, she said, it's the only safe place in my life. So what I'm trying to say is that debris that we're talking about, yeah, we want to uncover it in the prison, but we also want to intervene, and it's a continuum. My own hunch, and I'm very angry about this, so I don't want to lay this on you for it, but I think the church is busy playing maintenance games and church growth nonsense when we ought to be involved in this kind of stuff with a Christ who is not out there somewhere to emulate, but a Jesus who's here for us to follow. And as old as I am, I don't have time for the nonsense anymore, and I'm not putting up with it.
HorizonMinistries.org, is the way you can find information on the website. You'll see testimonials and information and ways to connect. So that would be a good.
Still kind of in the